our time is short. The triumph of God's cause was never more certain than it is tonight. Amen. And you and I can look forward with confidence, knowing that we do have God's message to proclaim in such an hour. Such a time in a meeting like this, in such an hour of destiny, what could I say in such an hour of tragedy and triumph to a group of leaders assembled here for this ministerial association meeting? I want to turn tonight to the Gospel of John and read there these words from John 13, 26 and 27. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly. That thou doest, do quickly." Somehow I believe that here's a message for us tonight. The Savior's earthly ministry was rapidly drawing to a close. Events foretold by prophetic pens were swiftly and inexorably being enacted, for time was running out. Soon a cross of shame would drive a crimson wedge in history. And one actor destined to play a felon's role was urged to do this dastardly work quickly. Tonight, brethren and sisters, in 1970, time again is running out. Again, prophecy is fast fulfilling. Again, we're nearing another challenging climax in history. And this time, it's a beginning and not an ending. And we take these words out of context tonight. I want to be sure and tell my theologian friends this. And I want to direct them not to a traitor, but to a church, a hesitant church. And I want to read these words of the Master again, reading from the Amplified New Testament, the New English Bible. What you are going to do, do more quickly than you seem to intend, and make a quick work of it. Do quickly what you have to do. Or as Philip puts it simply, be quick about your business. The good news for modern man says, hurry and do what you must. Hurry, do it now, the living New Testament says. And the servant of the Lord reminds us the world is to be warned. And as never before, we're to be laborers with Christ. That which is done in warning the world must be done without delay. Terrible scenes are before us. And what we do, we must do quickly. That thou doest, do quickly. Hurry, do it now. And as we were challenged last night to a different kind of living and working, I want to turn our attention to the commission that God has given to us, the challenge before every single one of us here tonight. What is our first work? And I want to make bold tonight to say that our first work is evangelism. Our first work is soul winning. The servant of the Lord says, if our ministers realize how soon the inhabitants of the world are to be arraigned before the judgment seat of God, to answer for the deeds done in the body, how earnestly they would work together with God to present the truth. How earnestly they would strive to lead men to accept the truth. How untiringly they would labor to advance God's cause in the world, proclaiming in word and deed the end of all things is at hand. Somehow, brother, sister, mine, tonight you and I need to understand better than we have in the past the solemnity of the times in which we live. And if you and I really believe and understood deep down in these hearts of ours how soon the inhabitants of the world are to be arraigned before the judgment seat of God to answer for their deeds, the servant of the Lord says that something would happen to us. We would be stirred to our very depths. And some of the things that seem of great import today would seem of little consequence to us if we really believe these things as God would have us believe them tonight. In Gospel Workers, page 31, the servant of the Lord says, to win souls to the kingdom of God must be our first work, not our second work. This is not something that we can take or leave as we determine. But to win souls to the kingdom of God must be our first work. This is my challenge to you tonight. This is the challenge to my own heart. For I do not wish to speak to you without having a message that will stir my own heart and encourage me to do more personally in the work of soul winning with you tonight. When I talk to you about evangelism, there are many different kinds of evangelism. I do not mean only those who stand behind the sacred desk and proclaim this message with power and evangelistic effort. To me, there is not only public evangelism, but there is personal evangelism. Getting into the homes, sitting down and talking with men and women concerning their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is more refreshing to me personally than to be out in an evangelistic effort, not send the other folk out to do the effort or to do the visiting, but to go out myself, to go into the homes and talk with individuals about their relationship to Jesus, to help them face some of the problems that are theirs as they seek to make their decision for Christ. And then with the Spirit of God to appeal to them and plead with them for Jesus' sake to cast their lot with the people of God. Personal evangelism. This is just as much evangelism as is standing behind the sacred desk. Amen. There's medical evangelism, educational evangelism, publishing evangelism, Sabbath school evangelism, youth evangelism, lay preacher evangelism. All of these are part of that great umbrella that I speak of tonight, evangelism. During the course of the past 30-some years, as I have worked with different workers, been associated with fine departmental leaders, the only request I've ever made of them has been that they put the emphasis on the soul-winning aspect of their work. But these teachers of ours who stand before the students are just as much evangelists as those of us who stand behind the sacred desk. To any of you who are teachers here tonight, let me remind you that your first work is not merely the impartation of knowledge, but it's confronting those boys and girls, those young men and those young women with the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ upon them. As I mentioned to our medical workers this morning in the devotional, their first work is not attention to diseased livers and to take out appendix, but their first work is to turn men and women to the great physician. This is what I'm talking about tonight when I talk about evangelism. Every department, every member, every worker, every institution, evangelism. I realize today that there are many distractions. There are many things that clamor for our attention, no matter what type of endeavor we may be in. Satan would be pleased when he can sidetrack us from our first, most important work. Yes, we could spend our entire time taking care of secondary items. We as administrators are much involved with budgets and balance sheets and boards and committees. Our departmental leaders are concerned with buttons and badges and report blanks and programs. Our medical workers have dietary deficiencies to cope with and many other things. Our teachers have external and eternal examinations. Our publishing workers are harassed with sales and goals. And then many of you here tonight belong to that great host of the most important men in this denomination, the pastor. Amen. I hope that as we look into the future, brethren and sisters, that we can put our pastors back where they belong. Amen. We wouldn't need very many presidents, many secretary treasurers or departmental leaders if we didn't have pastors. These men upon whom God has placed such tremendous responsibility in the leading of men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ are men that we should pray for and honor. It's a tragedy tonight that so many are looking for work outside of the pastorate. Our pastor has many things to do. He has to be many things to many men. He has to be a bit of an administrator, a social worker, a recreational director, a contractor and builder, a departmental campaign promoter, a financial expert. He has to be father and mother to the flock many times. I know for a time, sometime or other in my ministry, I've walked in all of these shoes. All of these things that I've been speaking about tonight are important. And if we're going to be successful in our ministry, we need to be able to carry on these different types of programs. But the thing that I want to stress tonight, my friends, is the fact that our first work, above all else, must be the winning of souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, ministers, above all other people, are the masters of their own time. All of us have 24 hours in every day. Whether we're the pastor in a church, a departmental leader, an administrator, a worker in the educational institution or the medical institution, every single one of us has the same number of hours of every day, 24 hours. And it's up to each one of us in our own minds in dividing up our time to find the proper priorities, to put the emphasis where it should be. And I want to appeal tonight to all of our workers to place your priorities where God would have it. First, be sure that you yourself are right with God and those around you. And then, after you have made your own calling and election sure, the first work is helping others into the kingdom of God. This is our challenge tonight. The Lord Jesus has set the example for us. You recall there in John the 4th chapter, the 34th verse, where the Savior saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." The Lord Jesus saw in all with whom He came in contact, men and women for whom He was going to the cross. That passion that possessed Him, the passion for souls must somehow possess you and me tonight. Yes, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Gospel workers says the greatest work, the noblest effort in which men can engage is to point sinners to the Lamb of God. I suggest to you tonight, my brethren, that we may be eminent administrators, well-qualified social workers, financial wizards, build many beautiful buildings, and fail in our ministry because we have failed in our selection of priorities, putting first things first, our own relationship to the Lord Jesus, and then the relationship of those around us to the Master. This is the challenge to every single one of us tonight. You know, some people turn away from evangelism because it's not an easy task. Let me tell you, the work of an evangelist is not an easy work. You get up and preach an evangelistic sermon. When you carry on your heart a real burden for souls, and I want to tell you from experience, it takes something out of you. Oh, you can get up and recite a few texts and make a few quotations and do a bit of psychoanalyzing and sit down and not have anything go out of you. But when you preach this message with the power that God wants it to be preached in these days, as the Savior says, "Virtue hath gone out of me." And I think sometimes that some men don't do more preaching of the message because they're not willing to make the sacrifice that's involved in a real effort to preach this truth. Yes, it's not easy. The only thing that's easy about evangelism is to put it off. It's easier to be sidetracked into programs than it is to get up and preach this message to men and women who need it. But every program, brethren, must contribute to one goal. I believe in the 5-day plan. I thank God for it. It's done a great deal for breaking down prejudice and encouraging people to come and listen to the rest of the message. But let me tell you tonight, the 5-day plan is not the full preaching of the Advent message. When you and I are sidetracked over to an easier program, we need to get back, not from our sidetrack and be on the mainstream of preaching this message. I say let's use the 5-day plan. Let's use all of these other things. But let's remember they're auxiliary plans. The main thing is to preach the Advent message. All of it. Clear through from the beginning to the end. This is the challenge that's before us. Social programs are good. I believe in them. And in these days, we need to be involved in social action. Let me tell you again, brethren and sisters, these things are merely auxiliary programs. They contribute to the one goal, and that is the winning of souls. Every building work is good. I'm glad when I have an opportunity to assist in the dedication of a new church. For I believe the church building is part of a program of evangelism. But this church is not an end. It is a means. And may God help us as builders tonight to remember this and to be reminded that our first work is filling those churches after they've been built. There are many types of public evangelism that we need to keep before us. I'm glad that there are still some of our men who are holding these old-fashioned, full-length evangelistic campaigns in new territory. Amen. I'd like to challenge many more of our men to have part in these long, old-fashioned, full-length evangelistic crusades. Those that last not for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, these are fine. They fill their place. I believe in them. I have part in them. But I think that there's still need for us to have longer meetings in certain areas of earth. Here are our reaping or our decision efforts. I'm glad that the Lord placed on the heart of some of our men a few years ago to lead us into these decision or reaping efforts. I believe in them. But I need to be reminded myself, and I need to remind others on occasions, that we can't reap unless we have sown a little before. Very seldom do we make Seventh-day Adventists in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. God can do it. This is true. But I hope that before our 2- and 3-week efforts, we will have a prolonged period of real seed sowing, so that when we go in, there can be some real reaping. Because, brethren, we want to bring these people not only into the church, but we want to get them into the kingdom. We want to keep them there. Their revivals and their weeks of prayer, their Sunday night meetings, all of these things are important. Different men are able to fit into different schedules, different types of endeavor. And it's up to each one of us, according to the work that God has assigned to us, to choose that which we can fit into best. You know, sometimes I find individuals a bit fearful about launching into evangelism, into an effort. I find some pastors who are just a little hesitant about starting in and going through a series of meetings. They've never done it before, and they're a little fearful that they may not succeed, and then, you know, it isn't too good to have failure. Sometimes we as administrators, after we have been out of the public pulpit, evangelistic pulpit for some time, we're just a little fearful to go back into the pulpit. We might not win very many, and then that wouldn't be very good. Brethren, let me tell you tonight, God does not call men to failure. He doesn't say, go preach and then desert us. The servant of the Lord says in Christ Object Lessons, page 363, when we give ourselves wholly to God and in our work follow His directions, He makes Himself responsible for its accomplishment. He would not have us conjecture as to the success of our honest endeavors. Not once should we even think of failure. We are to cooperate with one who knows no failure. When God speaks, it's not ours to question. As I said a moment ago, God does not call men to failure. He will not mock us. He reminds us that all of His biddings are enabling. If He calls you and me to preach this message, He's not going to desert us. For the encouragement of some of you here tonight who might be just a little hesitant, you'll pardon just one or two little personal references of what God has done, not what I have done. For when I started in college many years ago, my public speaking teacher told me very frankly I was one of the poorest prospects he'd ever had. And I can understand what he was talking about. But I've discovered that through the years, if I would try, even though I'm not a Dedimore or a Holly or a Coulthard or any of the other evangelists, if I would try, the Lord would give me some soul for my work. Some years ago, when I went out to Southern Asia, Elder Branson took me aside. He said, Brother Pearson, they've got a lot of institutions out in Southern Asia. They need a little evangelism. We're sending you out there to kindle some of those fires. Seemed to me the best way to kindle a fire was to get a few matches and get into the fire myself. So there in the city of Pune, we had a church out on the estate where the mission headquarters, the division headquarters, were located. But down in the city of Pune itself, there was no church. So Elder Kemmer and Elder Ashlock and I decided that we were going to set the pace for Southern Asia. We decided that we would launch not in a short effort, but we would go in for a 3 months effort, night after night. We went right down into the Hindu part of the city and started in. I might say, if you have any question about my testimony of the public speaking teacher, you ought to have seen a picture that appeared on the division bulletin board one day. Brother Pearson was up preaching hard and Brother Kemmer was sitting behind sound asleep. When Brother Kemmer and I traveled around over in Burma, we were known as the man, one man with a long neck and the other man with no neck. You can decide which one I was. I told the folks that it was because I'd stuck mine out so many times. But the Lord helped us, and the Lord helped us to raise up a new church in that city. And I say tonight, brethren and sisters, if any one of us will get out and try, God will bless us. He will fulfill His promise to us. And even though we may not be professional evangelists, if we carry on our hearts a burden for souls, God is going to honor His word, for He does not call us to failure. I suggest to you tonight again, too, that if we hold efforts, we're going to win souls. Some of you have looked over to Trans-Africa during the course of the past 10 years. You've seen large baptisms. Let me tell you, Trans-Africa is not the easiest place in the world either, in certain parts. Some places our men have to work hard in order to bring people into the truth. But when you hold 2,500 or 3,000 efforts a year, you're going to win some souls. And I say tonight, if we hold evangelistic efforts in our conferences, in our unions, in our divisions. We're going to see souls brought in as a result. This is the challenge that God gives to us tonight. And my appeal to our leaders here this evening is, that thou doest do quickly. Hurry, do it now, while we have an opportunity, while time is still with us and the hour of probation has not closed. I believe from the depths of my heart tonight, brethren and sisters, that we're living in the very tiptoes of time, that soon, very soon, our Savior will appear. This is what I believe from the depths of my heart. And I believe that what you and I do, we must do quickly. And so I say tonight, let the word go round the world to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The Seventh-day Adventists have not lost their evangelistic fervor or their sense of mission. That we believe that the end is near and that we're going to do something greater than ever before about it. Let us call our workers, our church officers, our church members to their action stations. With God's help, let us electrify our people with a well-thought-out and well-prayed-over program of soul winning. Every department of the church should be mobilized for a great forward thrust. Let us sound the battle cry for coordinated evangelism with every department working hand in glove with every other department and with our pastors and with our evangelists. Let us inspire our laymen, our church officers, our youth, our Sabbath school members, our literature evangelists, our teachers, our doctors, our nurses, our technicians, our office workers, our publishing house workers, our departmental secretaries and our administrators with one great obsession, soul winning and the finishing of God's work. Amen. These are days when we must undertake greater things for God than we have ever undertaken before. For the hour is late. We are a people with a deadline to meet, and that hour is hastening on apace. As leaders of God's church, we dare not delay. We must see the launching of the greatest program of public and personal evangelism that this church has ever undertaken. It must be a worldwide challenge. And so I appeal to each one of you men and women as leaders in God's cause, in God's last hour, to consider these things most prayerfully. And then with His help and the power of His Spirit, sound the rallying cry through the ranks of God's church. Make it a cry that will be heard round the world. Make it a call to arms, to revival living, and to latter-day laboring as never before. I met with our division presidents the other day in Washington. There came from the grassroots, not from the top, but from the grassroots, the suggestion that during this next period between general conference sessions, we ought to see 1 million people coming into God's remnant church. Somebody afterwards asked me if I thought this was a practical objective. Brethren and sisters, if I understand the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy tonight, 1 million is not hard for God. If I understand the writings of the pen of inspiration tonight, we're going to see greater things than this. Before these eyes of ours behold the King in His glory. My heart responded to this challenge that came from our division leaders. I thank God for men of vision. Men who reach out into the future and roll back the horizons. Brethren and sisters, our first work must be evangelism. What thou doest, do quickly. May God help us to respond tonight, and with all that God, the power that God can give us, let us preach and proclaim this message and hasten the day of the Lord's return. This is my prayer for His name's sake.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. International copyright 2008, all rights reserved. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.